Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Awakening. So I'm Michelle Mache. And welcome everyone listening via iTunes, Cosmic Dimensions, the Archives, and as well as my co-pilots in the Sacred Space Permit Room, also known as the chat room. It's good to connect with everyone, as always. So we have a lot going on. So our guest coming on at 12:45, we have today Tommy Lloyd. She's going to be talking about her book, In Sea to Serenity, Using Spirit, Simple Principle, Reignite Inspiration and Thankfulness. So, right now, and of course, a lot of our international European listeners, a lot don't perhaps celebrate Thanksgiving. However, hopefully, reminder to be in gratitude for what you do have and where you are. I was doing my bit this morning. The focus is not where you were, but where you are. And that's becoming more and more important as we're living more and more in the meditative state. So, we do have some email questions that I definitely want to get as well. And invite everyone, if you would like to call in for questions, for just to say hello. The number is 347-539-5122. And we're doing the where and how you listen to Awakenings. And you get a nice little two MP3s, wonderful little gifts. And that's at awakenings@selfenlightening.com or awakenings@gmail.com. And just let us know where and how you listen to this. Also, for suggestions or topic suggestions, we really do take all of that to heart and really do everything. You can email Sadie, producer, at selfenlightening.com, awakenings@gmail.com. I want to do her and do take it to heart and register. I do as well. So, it's a community based program. I think community, those that are more consciously awake, aware, spiritually integrated, so aligned, and that are consciously working on the path of giving and, you know, assisting us in giving. I mean, seriously, it doesn't matter. So it's for many of us light workers, some of this lifelong journey, some it's a new remembering. It's a reawakening, if you will. But here's the inside information that's on the divine soul path. I'm on a different sound. Boy, something is interesting because I did listen to, I'm going to try another sound. I did a sound check and I'm using something different. So thank you, my Sacred Space of Empowerment Room. Let's see here. Something is going on. Awakenings, because when I check the sound, it's fine. It's better? Okay, or I'm also calling in on another. Let me know. I'm put in an addition. For some reason, with the sound through my computer, my equipment, it sounds fine. It's very clear. When I do recordings, I use the same equipment that I use for actually recording readings, and it's always really clear. There's something when I log into Blog Talk Radio that it's not so clear. So let me know, do you think I should be using another let's try this, see if this is even better. Because I want, I've gotten some messages. People are like, what were you saying in the beginning of the program? It was so good. And, let's see if I can maybe mute and try on another line. Let's see how this goes.
Just let me know, is this better? Is this better sound? Oh, yeah. Okay. There's something off. Siren Jesus is saying no, it's not better? No, okay. Okay, that was clear. Okay. Let's see, how do I unmute? Unmute. No, that's okay. It's not unmuting.
Okay, how about now?
Is that better?
Shouting in the chat. So I can hear. So it is. Hey, I don't know what's going on with Blog Talk Radio. When guests call in or I call in as a guest, it's much, the sound is better. Okay, everyone, so getting back. So the number to call in for readings or to connect is 7-539-5122. That's 347-539-5122. And press 1 on the keypad. That gets you in the queue to get on air. And hopefully you can hear me. Please let me know if the sound wiggles out. I need you co-pilots. I need your assistance. So let me know. Oh, things to get to. One is I love answering. Sounds pretty good for now. Okay. I love answering email questions, but if they're personal questions, my birthday and what you see happening for me, you either really need to call in or schedule an appointment. I do the readings gratis. See, they're saying it's a little crackly. The email questions need to have a broader approach that we can do a topic on. And so that's it. Or you can email info@selfenlight.com. I do not know what's happening with the sound of the blog. It's clearly not on my end because I did 3 or 4 different ways of checking and recording. So just keep me updated in the chat how the sound is doing. So many of you know I've been doing these Telesoul Path groups and in-person Soul Path groups. We have another one. I believe it's either going to be on the solstice, which is Friday, the 21st, or it'll be again on the 22nd. And we've been doing some amazing, amazing subtle energy plane work, connecting in with the resonant fields, and just moving in now to connecting more from the heart. And not in, oh, just open your heart or, you know, love everyone, but really practical tools and processes and ways to start accessing the information of the heart. And I had, somebody called that they weren't able, the sound went out and it was scratchy. Oh, it was Kate. Listening to your podcast and your voice in the first 10 minutes was cutting in and out. What did you say about the heart meditations or healing heart meditations? Are they on the website? Right now, they're just for the Telesoul Path group, person Soul Path workshop and group. I will be a meditation, you know, that people can download as well. And it really is about discerning the messages from that are coming from the mind and which is coming from the heart center. Because what's coming first from the heart center, of course, is the first organ, muscle, communicator, information, and it gets information, and then it's bounced back to them, back to the heart. So we really want to be able to not make choices from you know, memories. It's reanimated energy is really what it is. It's remembering something, we're reanimating that energy. We want to do it with the freshest, clearest knowingness. And having from that, you know, seventh or eighth chakra and above, actually really ninth and above, because you have to, rising above duality, you tend to tap into that or align or attune into that through what we call the center, the seat of the soul, which you access through the heart. And so it's like a tuning fork. It's an attunement, an alignment and an attunement, and that is through that heart center. I do go into this in some of my Daily Om course, and that's at dailyom.com, 2012 Navigate Your Soul Shift. And we'll be discussing, you know, more of this, but I wanted to touch on it. That's what I was talking about. I was talking we're doing on the Telesoul Path group. And you can check with me on my Awakenings radio page, on, you know, Awakenings with Michelle Mache on Facebook, or you can always email. But we have a great workshop, a great group. It's great information, practical tools to start getting so that you're understanding the language of the new emerging consciousness, the new way of thinking and being, and in the creation process consciously. Because you're in it anyway, but consciously, righteously. That's what we're talking about, is more consciously. Okay, so we will be getting two lines. I do see orders on the line, and we'll be getting to you. Let's see. Thanks, Mary Beth, for emailing in where and how you listen to Awakenings. Mary Beth says, I've listened to the show from Archives most every on my latest adventure of bicycling the Pacific Coast. Doesn't that sound cool? I listen in my tent usually every night. I love you. Thank you for your work, your voice, mannerisms, and laugh are just as dear to me as the wisdom you are clear in sharing. I hope you have a night for reading. Love, love from my heart to yours. Isn't that beautiful? Imagine, I love technology, that you can be bicycling the Pacific Coast and tuning into rain like this. Because, of course, cycling, you really need those podcasts and archives, because sometimes you're in a place where you're not going to pick up a radio signal, a radio frequency, or it might be just some kind of music. Okay. Also, we are going to be talking more about 2013, intend to start blogging on that as well, if that's on that. I believe it is Wednesday, the 5th, December 5th, I will be doing readings, dream interpretation, and we will also start talking about giving a heads up of the energy shifts focus for 2013, which is really moving through that harmony through conflict. We also have Robert Wilkinson will be visiting us again, which I so look forward to, professor and metaphysician. And we do have on 12-12-12 an amazing alignment, attunement, and synthesis will be Jude Kuravan, Dr. Jude Kuravan, best-selling Hay House author. She's also the recipient of the Koi Award, is a astrologer, amazing astrologer, and also cosmologist, will be with us on 12. So that will be great as well. Let's get to some phone lines. Let's check in with people. Again, the number to call, 347-539-51, pressing 1 on the keypad, gets you on air. Hello, 78630. Welcome to Awakenings.
Hi.
Hi. To whom am I speaking with?
Nicole.
Hi, Nicole. What's your question or comment?
My question is, I'd like some insight into my low self.
And give me a question. What kind of insight do you want? What do you want to know about?
Okay. Do you see that when we unite with an ex or somebody new will come in?
That's what it shows. Feel that there is going to be an ex, or there is already on the scene somebody living. It shows around you. Let's see. things that need to complete. There's some things hanging there. And I also feel like a heaviness of heart, like there is someone that you are very much missing and wanting to reconnect. It felt that it ended not well, and you're wondering, is that person going to come back in? And I feel yes for one more time, and then they are going to, then I do feel that someone else coming more next year, and maybe more mid to end of next year. So you've got some emotional healing. Okay? Does that make sense for you?
Kind of, but this person that's going to ex, why would I, it means like if I, if he comes in, it's like, it's a waste of time. So do you really think that we are going to be back together? Because it, to me, it's like if I'm going to be with somebody else, why would I waste more time and
emotional
energy?
You're not necessarily asking me
what sense, rationally, but it shows a completion there. And so not necessarily, sometimes people get back together or hang out, it doesn't mean that you're formally dating again.
Mm.
Right.
Well, what is intention? With, like, what is this intention?
Does that, make, does that make sense at all? Like, try my.
What is this intention?
I didn't hear that. I'm sorry.
What is his intention?
Okay, let's see.
Feeling.
Now you.
It's to complete. It's to clear. See, right now, what I feel is you're so afraid and living more out of the wound that you're literally cutting off experiences of connection coming to you, of better connection. So there is some deeper healing that you need to do to resolve this, to draw in that which is more life enhancing for you.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Okay. All right. Keep us posted. Blessings.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I'm trying to do different sounds. Please let me know how the sound is or if I should go back to the other mic. I'm juggling back and forth. Okay. Hello, 204-326. Welcome to Awakenings.
Hi.
Hi. What's your question or comment?
Just wondering about my son and when he'll be coming home and if I'm doing the right thing with what I'm doing right now.
If I didn't get the first part? And what?
When my son will be coming home.
Your father?
My son.
Your son. And what's your first name?
Cindy.
Now, is this like an incarceration or something like, or a camp or something?
No?
Okay.
No.
Well, he wasn't going through anything like that? Because I'm feeling a lot of issues with how to deal with him. Is that true?
Yeah, it was very difficult to deal with him.
Yeah, okay. I almost feel, I hope I'm not picking up something coming up. Has there been some kind of, I don't know, suspension or incarceration or juvenile hall or something of that. I don't know what they call
not
it now.
Not that I know
suspension.
Of.
Not that you know of yet. Okay. Because I feel he's going in that direction. For Cindy in regards to her son. You need to get assistance. I feel like you are starting to detach, and that is better, to not take things so personally. With him, and to get more, it's saying get more assistance or get more help. But I still see a rust patch coming up. I hope this is helping you. I feel like you need more assistance.
Yeah, I need some kind of insight because we have no contact. He only, you know, texts me when, you know, the school's going to call or whatever.
When what now?
The school, like his school calls if he's sick or whatever. That's mm-hmm. the only time he'll text me, just to let me know that, oh, the school is going to call you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, maybe that's the detachment or the distance. And you want to know what to do about...
Am I doing the right thing by just you know, letting him be and waiting for him to come back?
I feel like, but I feel like it's not cut and dry. I almost feel like either whether sending cards or e-cards or just keeping in contact, hope all's well, you know, I feel like there needs to be more communication, but not to the degree of, like, interrogating or what are you doing or what's going on. I feel like there needs to be, you know, like a compassionate detachment, still a connecting in. Is the father not around? I'm getting a lot of anger around him. I'm getting a lot of anger.
Well, he's with my ex, who is not his father, but through court, he said he was. If that makes sense.
Oh. So he may be putting some things, because there's a lot of anger just in general, and then also resentment at you. I almost feel like he feels imprisoned. So I don't know if I'm picking something up psychological or just him being away from you feels like he's being imprisoned or cut off, even though he doesn't want to be with you right now. You know, sometimes children do this. They, you know, don't touch me, don't talk to me. But yet they really want that help. They really want to connect, but they're so hurt or angry. You know, don't touch me. Don't do this. Don't call me. Don't talk to me. But they really want it. And I feel he's in that place. I would say to check in with a really good counselor or family therapist. Otherwise, I do feel it's escalating into further problems. So
okay.
I think you can intervene now would be very beneficial. I wouldn't just leave it up in the air and say, oh, he'll come back around when he's ready. I wouldn't just cut off like that. I definitely would not do that. He's saying don't contact me, but it's out of wounding. I don't feel like there's a piece about, oh, I'm just doing my own thing now. I'm not feeling that with him. All right, Cindy?
All right, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Blessings. Hello, 619-549, you're on Awakening.
Hi there.
Hi.
Donna. Hi, this is Donna.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi, Donna.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Do you see my love life improving at all here?
Let's see, love life improving, which I feel for you means actually even dating. I'm not really seeing anyone around you right now.
No.
Let's see. Okay, what's coming up? You know, I got to be honest. I feel now there does seem to be someone even February, March around you. It could even be in a work situation. I am seeing, I think with more people actually next year, I am seeing more open up in regards to relationship. And I feel that's an individual as well. Whoops, Donna, I don't know what you're doing, but something's scratchy.
Okay, sorry. Okay, I'm sorry.
And I can't, tune in. So I do feel, and I'm going to preface this for everyone saying for better or worse kind of thing, for what's life-enhancing or not so life-enhancing. You know, things are going to be, opening up more for people. But remember, we attract by consciousness. It's an inner state. So by what we, you know, what's going on in our life, you know, internally, our inner.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, you know, this particular wave of awakening, this third wave or third phase, has a lot to do with the rude awakening. It's very abrupt. You see what's happening, you know, in the culture and institutions, politically, governmentally, with nations. It's also because we're really meant to be clearing our emotional body, being very clear, not over drama, you know, over guarded, living from the wound, you know, aware of our wounding, but connecting now more to our gifts. So I really suggest to people you need really to do emotional clearing and see what are those limiting or negative patterns,
mm-hmm.
or non-life-enhancing patterns. Because otherwise, what's going to come up this coming year is you're going to be attracting that like I was telling the listener that called in earlier about the guy from the past. So I do feel that with you as well, Donna, that, you know, take care of some of those woundings. You know, I have some on my website, selfandlight.com, there are some free gratis processes, things that people can do, meditations. There's a five-step emotional clearing process. But really see what are those patterns that are holding you back right now. The thing I do feel with you also, Donna, is that I do feel you need to, how would I say this, get out more. Does that make sense?
Yeah, okay.
So start connecting with those like-minded individuals. Connect where it feels, from a sensing point of view, more life-enhancing. Okay?
Yeah, that would probably help.
So, yeah, and that's where I do feel you will, most likely it's something around a group setting or a most, you know, it could even be like, are you in an office?
No.
Salon. Okay, because I keep seeing a group of people. Well, it could be some kind of party with somebody from there or work situation. I feel it has to do with work. Who knows? Maybe they do come in your door. But it's something around work.
Oh, really?
Or a group.
Well, I was thinking about inviting somebody to my Christmas party. But
oh, well, maybe. Okay, that might be what I'm picking up then. Because it's something around work and party. So, again, what I want to say to you is definitely do reach out.
Somebody that I already know, but I'm not sure if he's even interested, to tell you the truth. So.
But here's the thing. Right now, and, you know, for the other listeners that called in, now's not the time to think. It's about reaching out. So it's not the time to think, is this the one?
Right.
The one will be there, or whoever's around can develop into the one. You're really just meant to be reaching out to people in community and connecting and sharing. So even if he's not the one, you're going to open those flows, that vibe of, you know, just being lighter and flirty and fun and sharing and, you know, connecting and relating. So if you do that, then I do feel somebody definitely coming in. So you're on the right track. You're on the right track.
All right. I'll go ahead and I'll do that. Yeah, I'll reach out more.
Good.
All right.
And let us know how you're doing. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Okay. 201-919. Welcome to Awakenings.
Hi, my name is Shannon.
Hi, Shannon. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I work in health, and I have been for a number of years, and I really love it. But I'm also feeling this underlying transformation happening, like something needs to change in the way that I'm doing it. And
right.
I did just come across a coaching program for wellness coaching, and I'm kind of wondering if that's a good path to follow or other directions to go in so I can keep it up but not get burnt out.
Yeah. I definitely am hearing for you to study right now, and you also need to connect with more like-minded individuals where you're also receiving energy. So very often when we take a class, there's, you know, processes or dyads, or they call them triads, where you work with a pair or three people where you get to share. Or maybe, you know, there's team coaching, or if you're taking, you know, energy healing class, you're receiving that as well. So I do feel that ultimately what's interesting around you is I do feel almost like a camp leader or something. I do see down the road you doing more group, and it could even be retreats. It could even be you even taking some retreats. But I am seeing a lot more around you with study and more with groups of what I want to say related field. So there will be some kind of workshops or study program that you are doing within your related field is what I'm hearing. And Now, do you ever go camping? I keep feeling nature around you.
Yeah, yes. I lead some retreats right now, and last year I took a yoga course out in Yosemite National Park, and it was based on connecting with the outdoors.
Okay, I keep seeing you out in nature a lot, camping, and also doing these retreats. Down the road, I actually do feel you facilitating more of these retreats.
Mm-hmm.
On your own and with others that are more nature-based, out in nature, but it could even be hiking or rafting and meditating and yoga. I feel that's the direction for you to go in.
Mm-hmm.
And down the road, I actually feel others working with you and even for you, Shannon. So you could even have a company that does this. Because after a while, I don't see you going all the time. It's like, oh, yeah, Joe, facilitator is going to go. Or, oh, yeah, Kathy's doing that one. Kathy's going to be facilitating that one, and that's great. Yeah. So that's the direction I more see you going in. Down the road, I can also see some kind of, I don't know if audio. I hear audio, but I'm also seeing like on the go for people that are traveling, like a DVD kind of series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've done some videos and I really like that.
Okay, there we go. The reason your reading is coming through so clearly is because you are on path. So I would just follow that, but it is a time right now for you to receive more.
Mm-hmm.
Receive. You know, also, and I do see, you know, it could be 2, 3, 4 times a year, these kind of retreats or seminars in nature, and I think you're going to go more of that level, that more of the group. Are you working more individually right now?
No, I kind of always felt that I preferred groups, and now I'm starting to think, well, maybe for income and things I can move towards individual and also just being more savvy with my time, but I prefer groups. Definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's not real clear. I still feel there's going to be some individual, but I feel like that may be a small portion. It feels like eventually it could even be events. You know, again, I feel like there's something more with the, and I see, you know, redwoods or big trees. I can see river or bass, you know, rafting, hiking, yoga, outdoor, camping. I see even a whole bunch of people out there. So that's
I live in New York City, which is the funny part. So I think that's
interesting. Well, maybe upstate. Mm. Well, there's a connection for you also in Colorado.
Okay.
So,
feeling that.
Yeah. So that is more, I feel, the direction. You may tack on individual work, like program-based or after retreat or something, but I really feel that retreat event, that's really where you're being drawn towards.
Okay, that's great. Is there any California, that's where I was going every month, and I feel a really strong connection there. I guess I'm wondering if that's something I should continue to follow.
Well, it's interesting right now. Yeah, I would follow that connection as it opens up. But I do feel that somehow with the work that you do with these retreats, I feel you're in a few different areas. I don't know that you're going to know exactly where to land yet. And Lonnie Kay in the chat room, Shannon, one of our listeners, participants, is saying there are nature things to do in New York City. In Central Park,
absolutely.
There are foraging groups.
Yeah, I've seen that. That's
Inwood
great.
Park. Yeah. So that may be a base for now as you stretch out or extend out.
Mm-hmm.
And there may even be a partner in this, a partnership.
That would be great.
or you're joining your services with someone else. But it's definitely this nature kind of thing, you know, yoga in the hills or, you know, camping and all that.
That's awesome. Yep, I've been doing a lot of that, and it's just really great to get the validation and not change anything. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Blessing.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Hello, 609-468. Welcome to Awakening. Hello.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Hi, Michelle. This is Karen. How are you?
Hey, Karen. Good to connect. Oh, you were at our Tell Us Soul Path workshop.
Yes, I was. Yes, it was great.
You've been
as
having
usual.
Amazing.
I have.
You've been having amazing breakthroughs. My gosh.
I have. I every time I do that class, I've been sleeping for 2 days straight. I don't know what's going on, but
well,
I'll just accept it.
Deeper healing, and you had a couple, if you don't mind sharing, you had a couple of biggie.
Yeah, my asthma is so much better than before. Mm. Before I wasn't able to even go upstairs, it was getting really bad. And my allergies are clearing up also. And I'm working on the thyroid, but we'll see what happens. I haven't given up hope yet, but I'm sure it'll clear up.
Oh, it'll shift. It'll dissipate.
Well, since I've been doing a lot of work on myself this whole year, I'm just wondering if there's any big changes that are going to be happening in my life.
Care. Yeah, now you know it's interesting, that heart lung area, that's the whole, you know, spirit, you know, we talked about it, you know, last Saturday too, that life force animating energy, letting more of that energy. I do see a lot of expansion in you and even clearing more in that heart area, just to be more open, present, just more space coming in. It's kind of like clearing out a closet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's overpacked, there's more space. And I am seeing relationship around you next year.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you with somebody now?
Kind of, but not really. It's not somebody I see myself down the road being with forever.
I want to say more time of Taurus, April, May, maybe even June at the latest. And you could meet at a traveling or something more, something more leisure activity or something creative, or it could even be at a gallery opening or music. So I would say next year you probably are going to be more outgoing, and maybe
mm-hmm.
that's why, is your friend you've been dating a little bit more of a couch potato, not doing too much with you?
Yeah, which is fine for me. It was fine for me because I really don't, you know, I just kind of wanted somebody to have, but it's not anybody that I really wanted to do many things with, which although now his schedule is clearing up and now he wants to do all these things with me, and I'm like, no, you were just supposed to be an in-between guy, but now he's ready.
But that's
to,
okay, but in-between doesn't mean you have to just sit at home.
Right.
You know, this is for you and everyone listening. Live more fully. Don't hold yourself back, like waiting. You know what? It's like not using the good cutlery or the good china or not using the good furniture and you have plastic over it. Everybody, please, get out the good china, the good pottery. Take the plastic covers off of the sofa. Live more fully because those synchronistic connectings to connect you with you know, the one that you're to be with will happen, you know, when you're living more synchronistically, more connectedly, more expansive. Because it does show more, I mean, I'm telling you, dating, going, you know, I see music, museums, art, I see you out more, out and about, more active. So
this year I've been more inside just because I've been working on myself.
No, this is next year. I'm seeing more next
year.
Okay. You'll probably feel the shift. January, February, I feel like the rest of this year, you know, it may be more spring. It's when it's warmer, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are you someplace where there's snow? I feel snow around you.
Yeah, Jersey, so it's snow already
okay.
Here.
Yeah, it's snow. Okay. So I feel it's when the snow is lessening.
Okay.
There becomes more, you know, activity.
Okay.
Not that you're not going to be active now. I do see you going out and doing stuff, but I feel like there's a whole new schedule for you next year where you're more out and about, meeting new people.
What I'm planning to do next month is go to that person you had on, Eric Pearl, the healer we connected.
Yes.
I'm going to go to his seminar next month in December.
Oh, perfect.
So I was like, okay, I'm all about healing this year, so I'm continuing that focus.
Perfect.
So I'm hoping that'll help.
Oh, yes. Yes, we do. I love working with that kind of energy. Yes, so, yes, just that's exactly what I mean, just being out there following that divine tickle. Where is it leading you? You know, what's of interest to you now and following that.
Okay,
wonderful.
And the person that I'm going to meet is going to be a soulmate or is just...
Well, that's an interesting question, and I have a great blog post on that called Life Mate or Soulmate, which one?
Mm-hmm. Well,
we incarnate, yeah, you want a soulmate that's also life mate. Because not, you and I could be our soulmates. You know, if you're connecting with people for especially a long period of time, 9.5 times out of 10, you're a soulmate. You came in a similar resonance. That's what that means. So you want to ask for a soulmate that's also a life mate, which means it's meant or life partner, which is meant to be partnered with you. Because sometimes in soulmate relationships, we learn the opposite. We learn what it isn't. It can turn into a learning lesson relationship. So a lot of times people inadvertently or subconsciously call that in, and you can see those relationships can have a lot of drama, can be very tumultuous. And it's because, yes, they're soulmates, but not all soulmates work well together on the earth plane.
Right.
Okay. So a soulmate that is also a life mate, a life partner, you know, the whole enchilada.
Okay. Well, that's what I want, the whole enchilada.
All right, Karen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's always great to connect with you, and it's great to also connect with you for the Telesoul Path workshop as well.
I'll keep you posted on my health.
Yeah,
thank you.
Do. Please do.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Here are we, let's see. 60, that was a 201. 901-406, you're on Awakening.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are
Welcome
you?
Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm going to get out of the noise. Just a second.
Yeah, please, because I can't hear.
Okay. Can you hear me better?
Yes.
Okay. I have a question. I'm looking for relationship, and I just met someone. And I want to know, what do you see with him and I, if there's...
And what's the first name?
His name is Joey. Joey.
Joey.
Uh-huh.
There's also going to be a Terry or Todd, a T name around you. Okay, and your first name is?
Lenice.
What is it?
Lenice, like Denise,
Lenny?
But Lenice with an L.
Lenny. Okay, Lenny.
Lenice.
Oh, Lenice.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Is this just starting? Well, it definitely seems you're just starting, right?
Just starting.
Yeah. Because I am seeing definitely a dating relationship here. It does show about April, May, that there'll be discussions of where are we going or what are we doing. Did he just move in the area?
No, he didn't.
Okay, are you, because there's something about a move.
Well, both of us are anticipating moving.
Ah, maybe
from our local residence.
Right, that's what, okay, because it's showing something to do, yeah, for a move. So I don't know if that might be him first. It's showing a move.
Okay. Like in moving his residence.
Yeah. Moving the residence. Yeah.
Okay.
And if he's not looking now, I do see he will be looking maybe even January. I'm not sure about the holidays, but definitely it is showing a move. Let's see. What's the best perspective that we should take with Joe? Well, right now it is showing, it shows. There may even be someone else on the scene, but I definitely feel that it's something that's developing, just starting.
Mm-hmm.
But there is going to be a move. It could be just him or both of you in between that's going to disrupt things a little bit, you know, because there's the focus of looking for the place and then moving in, and then it shows you dating. And I do see some little trip or something together locally. There's a pond. I don't know if it's a park with a pond. I can see water. Is there a park or something? I see, what are those boats that you, like you bicycle, you know, the paddle boats? I can see in the background.
I don't know, but he loves the water. He stays on the water, and I like the water too, so we had anticipating going to the water.
Oh, well, maybe that's where I'm seeing you at then. Okay, because I do... even the beach, but the next thing I feel is something, that there's a lake or something, the water.
Yeah, that's where he hangs out.
Oh, okay. You're definitely going to be hanging out there with him then.
Okay.
I can definitely see it. And he does have a little romantic side. I can see like a blanket or something on the ground, a picnic.
Okay.
Something to, you know, drink and food. And it's saying to go with it, go for it.
Okay.
But Joe, do you have a concern or what are your thoughts?
Well, I just wanted to know if, I mean, we seem to be doing so well and it feels so, you know, kind of right. And I was wondering, is this going to be something that will go long term?
It's looking like that right now, but I also, again, feel, you know, psychically you kind of see different things coming up. So I also do see some other people around you next year, so whether they stay as friends or maybe they're colleagues. But I do feel, you know, in the future, it's not showing right now a breakup.
Mm-hmm.
And it's showing more of a conscious relationship of discussing where are we going, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I think probably after the move that discussion comes in. All right?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Hello, 506-659. Welcome to Awakening.
Hi, my name is Naomi. How are you?
Great. Hi, Naomi. And what's your question or comment?
I'm just wondering, I've definitely been experiencing the awakening, and there's a lot of shifting going on, and I'm in a place where I'm really struggling, and I'm just wondering if you see it getting any easier or any kind of direction or anything like that.
You're in the cosmic cleaning up phase, where I feel like there could be it may seem like a lot of uncertainty around, or people are leaving. You feel even your job somehow is up in the air, right? Is that?
Yeah, I'm feeling it mostly in my job, definitely. It's been something I've been struggling with for a little while, and I keep thinking it's getting a little bit better, and then it's getting jumbled up again. So.
Yeah, I'm not sure you're meant to stay there, but you probably...
I'm kind of getting that, too.
Yeah, okay. But you probably won't know... You may do something intermediary is what I'm hearing, transitional job. I feel like your direction you're not really going to know or be clear on until August or September. And let me explain something to you as well as everyone that's listening is that, number one, this is why the program's called Awakenings. Our awakening or coming awake or living awake happens in waves. There's various forms of awakenings, personal, collective, education, relationship, healing, you know, it's all sectors of life. But we also have our own phases. So one of the phases I feel this next wave of awakening for many people, and I feel you're coming into this, is kind of things are not quite aligning up or working, or they're not as satisfying, but the new hasn't yet come in. Right? You don't yet know what it is exactly. You have to let it unfold a little more. What I suggest to people in that phase, what really helps is, you know, well, obviously programs like this, support, you know, obviously books, CDs, connecting with groups, workshops, seminars, being around other like-minded individuals that are either where you're at or two steps, three steps, five steps ahead, or those that are even a step or two behind you, then you can turn behind and go, oh, I was there, and look where I am now.
Yeah.
So it really is imperative at that time to get the support and connect with your spiritual practice, meditation, yoga, journaling, art, to let some of this mental, emotional energy move through you, give it a voice, give it a form, and not try to overly figure things out, because you don't want to make decisions right now from your logic mind.
Right.
Because you don't have enough data yet. The new information hasn't come through yet.
Okay. That really speaks clearly
to me. Does
that
help you?
Yeah, and that's something I've kind of feeling a nudging to start, is like a little group of people that we're all kind of on the same page, and we all can encourage each other. And
oh, I love that. Yes. Yes.
All right.
Start that. And give yourself a focus. You know, it's great to come together to talk and share, but give yourself a focus. Maybe 5 minutes in the group of meditating, you know, just even some breath work, meditation. You know, say, okay, I read this book, or let's work on this. You know, each person can share. Let's focus on this for the week or for the month. Give yourself some practical tools, you know, so you can, you're in the research and exploration mode right now, where you have to explore and research what it is that really gives you fulfillment right now. And look for people in places that are life-enhancing. What raises your vibrational frequency? If you're feeling drained or held back, that's not a life-enhancing situation. And that's the same with foods. Any of the overdoings.
Okay.
You know, overeating, okay. Overdrinking, overshop. Any of the overs are showing that a wounding is up and more nurturing or healing is needed.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Naomi. Thank you for calling
in. Thank you.
I
really appreciate your program. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Great to connect with everyone. Yeah. You know, the overs, the overdoing, some called the isms, you know, point to either a boundary being, you know, overstepped, or we're not getting the true nourishment. Or nurturing on a broader base and consistent level. All right. Okay. So thank you, those in the chat. Thank you for helping with the sound. And again, questions or comments, 347-539-5122. Pressing 1 on the keypad will get you on air. As you all know, the second half of the program, we have our awakening dialogue, our awakened conversation with our awakened guest. And today we have Tommy Lloyd, who had careers as a journalist, editor, and media relations consultant. She currently runs a successful event planning company and teaches at a local private college. She blogs on addiction, recovery, and personal growth. If you want to check her out on Tumblr.com, you can go to tumblr.com/blog/insanitytoserenity or insanitytoserenity.com as well. And she also really focuses on a variety of healing tools, including meditative subliminal MP3 guidebooks, as well as other online community resources. And her recent book is Insanity to Serenity, Journey of Addiction Through Recovery. Welcome to the program. Hi, Tommy.
Hi. Thanks very much. Thanks for that introduction.
Yeah. Oh, you are so welcome. I also like when I was looking through your material, I love this, what was the anecdote of using spirit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I guess for me, the journey that I've been on, and it was interesting just prior to coming on the air talking about the overdoings, because certainly mm-hmm. that's what addiction to anything is all about. You know, it can be drugs or alcohol is what people think about, but, you know, work is definitely a big one, and, you know, the shopping, the gambling, the relationships, whatever it may be, the eating, they're all, you know, overdoing in some area, trying to fill a void. But when I started out in recovery, you know, we meet a lot of unawakened people. That's really who we are when we gather around and wonder, you know, how we got into addictive behavior. And so I've kind of been on a journey of trying to, I also see it now out in the real world. You know, you don't have to be an addict to see that we're still living in a community often where there's still a lot of unawakened people. So, you know, how do you bridge that gap between awakened and unawakened? And, you know, when you go, hey, are you spiritual? Or, hey, do you believe in God? Or whatever that is, you know, it can be an uncomfortable place for some people still. Mm-hmm. So I started thinking, you know, spiritual, spirit. How could we define spirit in a way that really is doesn't create any uncomfortableness with people who may just not be there yet? So that's what I came up with, this idea of the, you know, spirit, simple principles intended to reignite inspiration and thankfulness. And I thought, you know, who couldn't be open to that idea of spirit?
Mm-hmm. And I love that the book Insanity to Serenity. I love that, because it is, you know, so much of whatever the overdoing or the over busy, the over control, the over, it's such, even just talking about it, you can feel the body constrict, you know, it's just guarding. But it is very insane, and there is no serenity, you know, in that type of living or life.
That's right. And to me, you know, the insanity to serenity, I always like Einstein's definition of insanity, which is simply repeating the same behavior, expecting a different result. You know, again, a lot of people can say, oh, well, you may be insane as, you know, a recovered addict or something like that, or someone in addiction. Yeah, that's insane. But so many of us live our lives, you know, just repeating actions, behaviors, thought patterns over and over again and somehow expect a different result. And so that insanity, and then the serenity to me, what I've discovered over the years, and I think a lot of us, again, do discover that serenity really, at least for me, is happiness. You know, serenity is happiness, and insanity is just being in the same negative behavior thinking patterns that, you know, we're either not willing to look at or we're still not awake to recognizing. So, yeah, and the serenity being the happiness. I used to think that serenity was just boring. You know, a long time ago, that's what I thought of. These really serene, chilled out people, you know, geez, they must live a really boring life. And it's funny
how you
come full circle.
Yeah, I had a client years ago who worked with some addiction. Well, theirs was relationship and drama, and they had a lot of, you know, up and down and just, you know, drama. It was a soap opera. After a while, as they got better, they said, I'll never forget this conversation, because I worked by phone. It was on the phone. They said, I think something's wrong with me. I don't know what this work. Something's wrong. And they were really scared and panicked. I said, well, what's going on? They said, I feel very, I don't know, am I numb? And I said, what we talk about? And I said, well, what exactly are you experiencing? And they said, well, I don't feel that buzz. I don't feel, is that life? And I said, well, do you feel quiet, calm? Well, I do feel quiet and calm, but I don't feel this buzz or hecticness. And I said, welcome to peace and calm.
And it really is. You know, it's amazing when you're in it. That's just it. You're actually, addicts themselves, whatever, are very addicted to drama and to chaos. You know, I often say I understand now that, especially if you start out as a kid in that place, which I did, and my book kind of traces that back. But if you start out in a family where addiction is prevalent, you know, you learn from a very early age, whether you think you like it or not, you become very accustomed to living in chaos. And, you know, what I recognize is that as we get into those behaviors ourselves, it's all those things we have to unlearn. And, you know, it's an addiction to chaos and to drama.
Physical. Yeah, it becomes physical and physiological. You do, when you move into that serenity, you do not have that emotional charge, which some people mistake as being alive. You know, the nervous system is right, isn't it? Your nervous system is just on edge, but it's like you're still alive, right? And then when that's gone, it's like, what is this feeling, you know? And let me ask you something, coming from, you know, obviously the research that you've done and the work that you continue to do. What is addiction? Because I agree with what you were saying at the top of the program. So many people just think, you know, it's, you know, drugs or alcohol or gambling. You know, those are the ones, maybe shopping. But it's much more insidious, isn't it, than actually that? And I would love to get your take on that.
Yeah, thanks. One thing that we see is that people, I think that there are certain people in this world, as far as my experience goes, that have a tendency towards it. More than others, it just seems to be that way. But even in addiction recovery from drugs and alcohol, it's very common to see people immediately go to something else. All of a sudden, they're eating too much. Sugar is a big one. Of course, alcohol has a lot of sugar, but they go to sugar. They go to shopping. They go to relationships. They go to work. People become very obsessed with work. And what I see addiction being is just looking outward to external sources to fill a void that in the end can only be filled from the inside. So addiction to me, at least negative behavioral addiction, is constantly seeking external sources to fill an internal void. And it just doesn't work. Of course, we do finally discover that really what we're seeking is literally inside of us. It's inside of us, and, you know, potentially it's also inside of other people who are, you know, the sources of support and inspiration to us as well, but it has nothing to do with the material. It's addiction to sort of, it's addiction of the mind and body elements and total neglect of the spiritual element. Because people can be addicted to the gym and to plastic surgery and how they look and, you know, again, what we own. It's all the externals that we think are going to make us happy, give us serenity. And really, it's only that spiritual that does it.
And this is why I think this topic is so important, is because I feel our whole, that the awakening is about changing the paradigm, because our whole society has been based on, you know, non-life enhancing behaviors, addiction, you know, the pattern, the relating pattern has been just so, whether right to ourselves or to others or to whatever's out there, food, whatever, it's been just so, right? So I feel like we're really, this has to be addressed on whatever level that somebody is hiding or, like you said so beautifully, trying to fill that void, which can't be filled by that which is on the outside.
What I discovered for myself, again, you know, I also sort of, you know, you're always trying to figure out where can I be of most benefit in the world, you know, as we do awaken, what's our purpose and all of that good stuff. And, you know, I recognize as well that people who have a lot of stuff, you know, who have the homes and the cars and the vehicles and all of that, who also have addiction problems. And I really was one of those. I was what we would call, you know, the high bottom drunk or addict, where, you know, certain people, a lot of people in my world would say, oh, I never knew you had a problem. Because, you know, I spent a lot of time putting on a particular image to the outside world. But, you know, all of that external stuff. So people like me in positions like that, they actually have a harder time awakening to the reality of their situation, because it's a lot easier to point the finger again. You know, you're searching externally, and you can also point the finger externally at other people, places, and things that are the cause of your unhappiness, whether you're willing to admit you may be, you know, behaving in unhealthy ways yourself. So this is an area where I think it's really, I mean, I think probably all of us, probably everyone listening to the show, we know some people who are high-functioning in society but actually still engage in a lot of unhealthy addictive behaviors. And they're some of the hardest, you know, nuts to crack, shall we say. A low-bottom, almost dead, hospitalized, in jail, lost everything addict. You see, they become willing to look for an answer. But people who don't really feel a strong need to make a change in their life, they kind of just go along unhappy but not willing to become aware enough to look at the spiritual side of their nature. And that's where I find it can be quite almost frustrating, you know, almost frustrating to reach that segment of society, actually.
And, you know, Tommy, one, as you were sharing, I was thinking another form, I feel, of that addiction or hiding or not connecting within, I think sometimes is also people that, you know, read all the right books, do all the right training, seminars, workshops, even therapy, but they're not applying. Applying their own, they're not connecting to their own spirit, as you're saying, and they're not applying what they're learning. They're not doing that work of stopping.
Yes. And you know, I have been, I was all of that. And I was also that person, you know, long before I decided that maybe I should look at my own drinking and drugging behaviors, which were really key for me. You know, I was reading all the books. I remember 12, 13 years ago reading that first Conversations with God book and thinking, this is it. This is the answer for me anyway. You know, at the time I thought, this is it, and I absorbed those books, and I read them, and I reread them, and I read the next one. I couldn't wait to get the next one. I was like, yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And yet, I still was not looking truly. I wasn't applying it, just like you said. Mm-hmm. And it made sense to me that I was still...
So how does someone go from... And you said kind of, was it like thinking in? Yeah, how does one go from that? What's the bridge from that to actually applying?
Well, you know, I think it usually does happen that we have some sort of life-changing moment or experience. And, again, I didn't hit this really low bottom in terms of my addiction. I didn't lose everything. But for me, I had a moment, and it really was a moment, where I looked at my husband at the time, I looked at my two young children, I looked at my extreme unhappiness, I thought about leaving the marriage, and that, you know, and I then stopped and said to myself, would that fix the problem? Who, and my question to myself was, who will I be if that person is no longer in my world? Will I completely change all of my behaviors? And I had to, so there were two things, and I thought, I'm not sure that I would. I'm not sure removing this person from my world would make me change. And the second thing for me was that I did clearly see, I had a moment of clarity where I thought, you know what? He's a lot like my dad, and I'm a lot like my mom. And these kids are me when I was their age, and there is no way, absolutely no way, that I can continue to engage in this circle of craziness, drama, and chaos that would then be, I saw the repetitive nature. I just saw it, you know. So for me, there was a history of this type of behavior, and in addiction, you know, true deep drug alcohol addiction, it usually does follow a family cycle. So there was those two things. I thought, you know what, I was pointing the finger at other people and circumstances, and I finally just stopped long enough to say, maybe I'll go work on me, and then I'll figure out what to do about these external circumstances. And that was the approach that I took.
So you have,
but again, when you don't have kind of a life type crisis moment or something that really literally awakens you, I'm not sure. You know, I'm still exploring that. How do we reach people who don't really think they have a problem but are constantly complaining and unhappy? I don't know.
Well, and I think sometimes, you know, the more awake you become, you start looking at things in your life that are getting in the way of your life, your fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think you become more attuned to that. So it doesn't necessarily have to get to perhaps that more extreme level because you're fine-tuning so much, whether it's food, you know, the overdoing. You know, I think you can even become label-free and, you know, not label it as something, but you adjusting and saying, but, again, to move into that level requires a lot of, not just, I feel, honesty, self-honesty, people around you that are honest, but support. You have to have that support. What have you thought about support, you know, on the path?
Well, again, having come from addiction recovery, and I do, you know, for me, I have taken a 12-step approach to recovery, and I have it sort of in my heart, actually, as another book that I've started to work on. You know, when we're in recovery, we learn these phenomenal spiritual principles. And not only do we use them to overcome addiction, but we start to apply them to our everyday lives. And that is actually the biggest gift that we get out of learning and applying spiritual principles. And day after day, and so the group setting and talking amongst like-minded people is a huge part of that process. There's no doubt. But, you know, we sit around and we say, wouldn't it be great if everybody had these principles that they could apply to their lives? And that's where I've started to actually work on a second book, where you can take these spirit, these simple principles, and apply them to day-to-day living, no matter who you are. Perhaps just someone who is not quite there in terms of being fully spiritually awake, or the person who's reading all the books but doesn't maybe even know how to begin the process of the application of a principle to, I just had a car accident, which, by the way, this morning I just did. Or, you know, and in that moment, I have to say, okay, I know of some principles here that if I choose to, I can apply and get through this a lot easier than I would have in my other life. And so you apply them, and within an hour, everything was okay again. You know, that drama that happened to me this morning would have been days, weeks, months.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't have been able to do the interview today. Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm just able to stop in the moment once you grasp these principles and apply them today, you know, my teenager. Who, you know, my teenager, my employer who's challenging, the students over at the college who are having difficulty, or whatever it is. It's applying the principles in your day-to-day living that is the key to the happiness, right?
Mm-hmm. Definitely that the applying. And you use SPIRIT as an acronym, which is Simple Principles to Reignite Inspiration and Thankfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Touch on that a bit.
Yeah, well, again, I feel that some of my ability is to attempt to reach people who are trying to even think about bridging the gap between having some spirituality in their lives and not. So the simple principles, I'll share a couple of those. And just so that people don't get overwhelmed with the idea of, if they don't like the idea of God or something like that, that they just don't get afraid of it. You know, inspiration, as we know, is in spirit inside of ourselves. So I like that type of word. And thankfulness, because I think that most of us can agree that when we're being thankful, when we're living in a place of gratitude, it's almost impossible to be too stuck in self-pity and blame and being the victim and all of that good stuff. So practicing that art of being thankful and grateful is a huge key, I think, to opening the door to a more spiritual way of living. So the simple principles, you know, we're taught these in recovery. And they're just, you know, we kind of laugh at them at the start and then we use them every day. You know, those things like let go and let God. And, you know, what does that mean for someone who's very much, as you mentioned earlier, people who are always constantly trying to control circumstances, manipulate things, trying to control people, places, and things around us, which, of course, truly is impossible. You know, just let go and, you know, find some sort of, test it. Test your faith by just letting go of the outcome for a day. You know, instead of reacting in the moment like I usually do, I'm going to, for one day, not react to this. I'm just going to try something different. I'm just going to let it go, just for a moment, for an hour, for a day, for some amount of time that I've never done before, because I usually, for example, just blow up or whatever, you know, our normal behavior is. So just testing the waters ever so slightly to let something go, even for a short period of time, to let the answer come to us, to let the solution work itself out. Because, you know, for me, when I first started to practice that, that's when I got my first big dose of serenity. when I could wake up in the morning and say, you know what, I am not responsible for trying to figure everything out. Because that's how I used to live my life. I got to fix that. I got to do that. You know, you got to fix the kids. You got to fix the husband. You got to fix everybody. And, you know, to recognize that I can just let things go, be responsible for myself. We say things like this. I am a full-time job. You know, I focus on me and trying to be the best person I can be. And if I stay focused on me, I don't have to go over there and try and manipulate or control or fix somebody else. Little tiny things like that. You know, again, we've been living for 80 years in 12-step recovery on living one day at a time. You know, that's the power of now. That's all of these books that have taken hold over the last few years. But for a long, long time, addicts have learned that if you can't live one day at a time, you will not succeed in recovery, because living in the past and living in the future is part of the cause of people trying to medicate themselves. You know, regret about past and worry about future events that may never happen. But when you can just have one good day, then the next day, oh, you have a good day to look back on, and all of a sudden your past is full of a lot of good singular days, which means quite likely, you know, the days that are in front of us are also going to be lived that way. So simple things. Live one day at a time, and, you know, explaining the reasons why. Take it easy. Just take it easy. No need for the drama, the chaos, the craziness. Just take it easy. Try it a different way. And when the guy cuts you off in the traffic, try for once just to take it easy. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your voice. Don't cuss. Don't, you know, swerve in front of them. Just try for once to take it easy and see if you don't feel better for yourself. And, you know, to be grateful. Write your gratitude list.
Right. Now, Tommy, what I hear you saying, though, does require, as we say, a beat or two. It requires a moment. And it might be a long moment, right? It might be half hour, hour, day. What do you find helps people to take that moment to not have that reactive response where they're flying off the handle?
Yes, good question. Well, again, we learn this in recovery. You know, if you have your moments early on, just like if you were trying to apply these simple spiritual principles early on, you know, if you're tempted in the moment, and, you know, we're not perfect, obviously. We all can fall into our old habits of behavior, but we're told, play the tape all the way through. So stop and just think for a moment. When I react like this, what is the end result? Because we always, you know, it is repetitive behaviors and it's repetitive results. So here's a good example for me. You know, I had a tendency for a long time just to yell, to react in yelling to my spouse, to my kids. You know, it was my own frustration, my own internal frustrations, and they would come out to them. And I really disliked raising my voice to my children. I knew that it was wrong. I hated the way that I felt afterwards. And I knew that I was going to have to go and apologize, or in my old behavior, was make enough excuses to try and justify my poor behavior, which was even worse. So, you know, play it through to the end. And I started to do that. I thought, you know what, if I raise, and it took me a few times. I raised the voice, I had to go and apologize. I raised the voice, I had to go and apologize. And today I can go, you know what, if I raise my voice, I'm going to have to go and apologize. And it's not setting the example I want for my kids. So, you know, playing the tape through made me feel the feelings that I also felt that were uncomfortable, that were those chaotic, dramatic feelings that I really am not interested in. So I would stop and think about, if I react in the same way, what is that old result that I'm going to get? And do I want that? So that's my approach to it. Play the tape all the way through. You know, it's the same in relationship. You let go of the one relationship and you enter into another and you start seeing the same behaviors, you know, in that person potentially that you're with, and you play it right through and go, oh, you know what? No, that's not the person I want to be with anymore because, well, for whatever reason, play the tape through. If they have the same behaviors, they're not likely to be different people. And we're not likely to be able to change them when we couldn't change the last one. You know,
that's a good point.
Yeah. Well, you know, what we learn when we're in dysfunction as kids, what I learned, it was these awakenings that I had to have. But, you know, when you're a kid with an addict, an alcoholic parent, and, you know, you strive to be the best you can be and they'll love you enough and they'll quit. And we realize when we're adults that that's not the way it is, because if love was enough to fix an addict, we wouldn't have any. It has nothing to do with that. But we never knew that as a kid, and then we get out there in the adult world, and all of a sudden we end up with another drinker or drugger. And why? You know, that was a big thing for me. Why am I doing this? And I didn't make the connect that the reason why I was doing it was because I still thought, this time I will be lovable enough to change this person. I still was not able to understand that they are not connected. But that is a really deep one for kids who grow up in dysfunction. But it's very clear to me that's why we see it repeat, even though we say we're not going to. It's so subconscious. It was developed in us at such a young age that takes a lot of work to awaken to that knowledge. And that's why, you know, I see it all the time. We see it all the time in relationship. We end up with the same people. Why? Because we didn't change.
Yeah.
They're just the same type of people, but the reason why we keep attracting them is because we are not changing.
Yeah.
And when
I get to attract
something different.
Yeah, I feel, once that pattern, that relating pattern is, you know, and you may still attract them and they're in your life, you don't try to, like you say, change them, or you don't become intimate with them, you know. You can keep them at a, you know, emotional distance, you know, knowing. But I also find, and what is your thought of grief on this? Because I really think until people really can grieve what they didn't have, what wasn't, and come to terms with what is, then you can start creating more of it, what it is you think and feel you want. But so many people, you know, I think what draws us back into those patterns is, you know, obviously that inner child is trying to recreate and fix it. Like you said, if I become lovable, it's me. You know, if I become more lovable, more sparkly, more this, more that, more rich, thinner, taller, you know, fatter, shorter, whatever, if I become more something, then I'm going to get that. In your process, did you ever hit a point of grief for what you didn't have or felt you didn't have?
You know, I'm not exactly, certainly tears were shed. Tears were shed, to grieve the fact that the parent, for example, that you always hoped that you would have just wasn't that person. But the process that I went through, then you have to go through the grief, but then you must get through to a place of forgiveness. And where I was able to go there was, you know, someone said to me one day, our parents, those people that were in our lives as young children, they can only give us what they were given. You know, they were not equipped. They didn't have the knowledge. They did the best that they were capable of doing. And the good news is today I get to have more awareness, so I get to give that to my children. And for that, I'm grateful. And so I did eventually get to a place of, I even got to a place of gratitude that, you know, I had the experiences that I had. And there were, you know, there's good parts to all of our lives. I mean, it's, you know, that again, falling into that story or the blame. You know, I finally got to a place where I said, just because that's where I came from, it's my choice how I make my future. You know, it's my choice how I go from here. I mean, I could sit in grief my whole life, but what's the point? You know, what really is the point? There must be some reason. If I'm spiritual and I believe in spirit, there must be some reason why I was given these experiences. And I have to believe I was given them so that if I can come through them, I can share them with others and help someone along the way. And, you know, I can't do that if I didn't have that experience.
Of course, that brings it much more empowering point of view, you know, that there must be some reason. You know, and I think if we expand way, 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 way big picture, unless people experience this and changed it in their own lives, it would never get changed collectively, you know.
Yes.
Right?
And there are two things that without which I believe that, you know, it is very difficult, even impossible to change. I mean, beyond straight denial, where, again, addicts get into that complete and utter denial, which for those who have never been there find extremely frustrating and difficult to understand, but it exists. And denial is very difficult to break through with someone, but awareness. So therefore, we have to become aware that, yeah, maybe there's something that I'm doing or that I could do to change circumstances to improve, and then the willingness. And I found that, you know, I think a lot of people, again, they could have awareness, they can read their books, they can listen to these shows, they can, you know, say, yeah, that's right, and I want some of that. But the willingness to change because of the fear of the process of changing for some is so great that they, you know, that they freeze in fear. I can remember once talking to a friend of mine and saying to her, you know, you should just, why don't you try praying? Like, why don't you try it? It's just having a little conversation with whomever or yourself or the great Mother Nature or the light bulb in your ceiling or whatever it is. Why don't you just try it? And I remember her sending me a note, an email saying, I've been praying. It has been fantastic. I can't believe how much better I feel. You know, she was just on top of the world. And two or three months later, I was talking to her. She lives, you know, in Toronto. I'm out here in BC. And just miserable, just absolutely miserable all over again. And, you know, I didn't want to say too much. But I eventually said, you know, are you still praying? No. And what happens, I think, is that people actually get a positive result and they're terrified to leave their old story behind. You know, if I'm not this victim, if I'm not this person, you know, they get addicted to their story. And it's scary when you get something positive happening. And I know, I don't know if that sounds weird to you or not, but change is scary, even positive change, because people think it's too good to be true or for sure it's going to go back to the way it was, or they just don't know how to step into a new role of being.
Well, and I think that we don't, we're getting the structures, we're creating them now, but that more support that, because remember, even that old adage, oh, waiting for the other shoe to drop, or things are good for now, wait and see, you know, it's like, somehow that got built in, you know, and all that kind of has to be, you know, dismantled.
Undone.
Now, Tommy, how can people, you know, I saw, seems like you have a lot of great healing tools, you know, meditative, subliminal MP3s, some guidebooks. And I love this. You have an online community resource, which is called the Serenity Circle. And then you're also on Facebook, Sanity to Serenity.
Yeah, I do the Facebook and the Twitter and the Tumblr. And I think probably one of the nicest resources that's there by the website is the blog, because I do try and write, you know, like we have this conversation or like you write a book. But I think in this day and age, small little bits of information, you know, a principle that somebody can sort of meditate on or think about or relate to in terms of their own life. I do a lot of that blogging on the site as well.
Which is great. I think, yeah, tools, you know, I know sometimes I'm on my Twitter feed and I'll, you know, stumble upon, and you literally stumble upon some, oh, that's good, or I needed to hear that, or thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
Just reading or hearing other people that are more conscious, more awake, just filling your life more with that kind of information, right, than the opposite.
Yeah, you start swimming in the duck pond with the ducks. And, you know, again, I remember early on in my own recovery when somebody said at some point, you know, You have to change everything. And that was very scary, you know, meaning everything, like, you know, you change everything, and that included the people that you associated with. And, you know, that's a scary concept for anybody early on looking at changing their lives. But, you know, today it just it becomes a natural outcome of your willingness to make some changes in your life. You just end up hanging around with different people, like you say, who are like-minded and are on the same path. But I still think for me, I think my role is to try and help be a bridge for those ones who, you know, are still a little bit on the sleepy side, shall we say.
Well, and I find it's another form of awakening. It really is. It's
yeah.
part of the awakening, you know, process. Really, if you look at it, so much of what you're sharing, it is so similar. Or part of it. I think it's just a different level or an aspect, perhaps, different aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Tommy,
we certainly, you know, that we are all one. The whole thing, the whole journey in the end is far more similar than dissimilar, no matter where on the path we are. That part I have concluded to be true, that most of us giving some sort of message, the message is very similar.
Mm-hmm.
It is the same, really.
Yeah. Tommy, this has been wonderful. Let's see, our listeners can connect with you at insanitytoserenity.com.
Yep.
Thank you so much for being on the program.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, as well. All right, so that was our guest today. That was Tommy Lloyd. You can find more information at insanitytoserenity.com. And I think some really great insight and information there. You know, all these various forms of being awake, living awake, it's so many different layers. I guess I would call it layers and levels. There's so many different layers and levels to living awake. And one of them definitely is those patterns. You know, are you in that pattern of the overdoing? You know, you know what that is. There's a lot of different ways to overdo, and those isms. You know, is that blocking your divine life expression? Is that blocking your light? That's what's actually happening. It blocks the light. Anyway, happy Thanksgiving to all of you. It's always a delight to connect with all of you every Wednesday, and those. Of course, in the chat room, also known as the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room. Thank you so much for sharing in this, co-piloting with me. And again, all of you listening via archives, cosmicdimensions.com, the other podcast outlets, and of course, iTunes. You are with us in spirit as well. And it's always, always great to connect and share every Wednesday here on Awakening. Come connect with us on the Awakenings radio page. Email us at awakenings@selfandlight.com. If you have any questions or guest suggestions as well, or email questions, also you can email awakenings@selfandlight.com. Our guest today was Tommy Lloyd. Her recent book sounds wonderful, Insanity to Serenity, A Journey of Addiction Through Recovery. And again, I guess with Tammy Lloyd, and you can connect with her at insanitytoserenity.com. Have a beautiful week. I'll see you here next Wednesday, every Wednesday, where we have readings, comments, questions, 12 to 12:45, and then Awakening Dialogue with our Awakened guests. Peace, light, and blessings.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awakening conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, the number 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.